This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in on this beautiful Tuesday. We're having a lot of fun going through all of these cuts and really tackling a huge admission from Joe Biden. I'm not under the impression that he knew what he was admitting to.
I don't know, to be clear.
That basically his entire campaign about shutting down the virus was a major lie. But it doesn't matter if he realized what he was doing. He said it. And now the White House is in panic mode. They're trying to backtrack. They're sending out Dr. Fauci, of course, to talk about variants and flights and vaccine mandates and all these sorts of things. And so joining me now, someone who has really been at the forefront of talking about parts of this pandemic that no one wants to discuss, is Scott Hounsell from Red State. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show.
As always, and a little bit of a late congratulations to you, Grace.
Thank you so much, Scott. All right, the first thing I want to start with is Joe Biden saying that there's no federal solution to this pandemic. This comes as a huge reversal from someone who said he was going to shut down the virus, he was going to increase testing, he was going to have the world be a very different place a year into his presidency. What happened, Scott? Where did he go wrong?
Well, they weren't following the science to begin with. They weren't following the data to begin with. There's been numerous data points that have suggested that no mandates, no shutdown measures. They've done nothing to stop or slow the spread of the virus. And so when the Dems ran in 2020 on the fact that Trump didn't do enough, they tacitly accepted the fact that they were going to do more. And when they tried to do more and it did nothing to stop or slow the virus, now they don't want to do anything, because if they do, people who've suffered as a result of the previous shutdowns are going to hate them as much as they hated the previous, their previous Democrats that have done these things on the local and state and local basis.
Yeah. Now, speaking of not following the science, you had an article recently in Red State about a new vaccine study that suggests some of these vaccines are actually increasing the probability of being infected with Omicron after 90 days. A lot of people have been arguing about this on the internet. What case do you make here based off this study that this could actually be what's happening with a lot of people who are getting these vaccines?
Well, in order to accept the data that they've previously used, they have to accept this new study. They've used the studies previously that from the same organization that have showed that the vaccines have been effective, or at least shown some effectiveness, against both the Alpha and Delta variants. So when we've gotten now to Omicron, they now are showing that after a period of about 30 days, they aren't effective at all. And after a period of about 60 to 90 days, it actually increases your likelihood of being infected. So you've got to start asking the questions of why are they mandating it? You know, it's one thing if someone wants to make the choice to have to be vaccinated, but why mandate it if you know it's not effective? Why mandate it if you know it's not doing anything? To me, it's absolutely stupid to continue to try to think that you're going to control this with the methods that are currently in their arsenal. They've got to change the game of how they're handling this. And in this particular case, Omicron is, yes, much more transmissible than previous variants, but in addition, much less deadly. And from my initial data, it looks like it's about 1% as deadly as previous variants. That's not 1% deadly in totality, but 1% as deadly as previous variants. So it's a fraction. It is a cold or a flu, and we should let this tear through the population like wildfire so that people can achieve natural immunities that have been shown to last longer than any vaccine. It's a safer way of obtaining those vaccinations or those immunities.
Now, someone that you write about often, Scott, and I know you're very passionate about Dr. Fauci and his career. And before we get into the latest thing that he's giving his opinion on, which has nothing to do with science, he's now talking about mandating vaccines for air travel domestically. But before we even get into that, in the last segment, I was playing some cuts from Rand Paul, and he brought up something that I had never even thought of, because we're so used to this fawning press coverage that Fauci gets. He gets awards. He gets holidays. Jonathan Carl tells him he's the hardest working man in America. And what Rand Paul brought up was that he actually has done a lot of damage as far as this pandemic goes by not promoting therapeutics. Do you agree with that stance?
It's the point is that they've only accepted one treatment, and that is to be vaccinated. They really don't even have treatments for once you've been infected, or ones that they recommend necessarily. They stick to pretty, the way that they've done it from since the beginning is really the way they've been done it. They've done it. Now, of course, we now hear that there are people like Pfizer who are coming out with their treatments for COVID-19. Which is quite ironic considering the fact that we've been told that there are no other treatments. So why does Pfizer get a pass other than the fact that now they have this government imposed monopoly on treatments and prevention of COVID-19? It is so foreign for a Democrat or a leftist to argue that corporations should have the power to have government impose a requirement of the taking of their product or to purchase their product. And that's essentially what we're dealing with here. The government has imposed a mandate that we receive a vaccine from a private company that is neither liable nor is required to release any of the data regarding their study or regarding their vaccine in the process. To me, it is so foreign. And again, we have this idea now that Fauci's out there saying, well, we need to be vaccinated in order to fly on air travel. Well, let's remember, we've had masks on planes for now over a year. So the question is, well, do masks work on aircraft? Well, if they don't work, then why are we wearing masks? Okay, so let's make everyone be vaccinated. Okay, well, if that's the case, can you guarantee that I won't be infected? No, you can't. How about I won't be hospitalized? No, you can't do that either. What about dying? If I get vaccinated, I won't die from it? No, you can't do that either. So at this point, why are you requiring, in order to participate in the very most basic things, and that is traveling, that I require that I be vaccinated when it's not to protect, there's nothing to protect anyone else?
Yeah, Scott, you're breaking up a little bit there, but I agree with you. Hold on, we'll take you off for 1 minute here so we can get him back on a clearer line. And it reminds me of something I recently heard on Fox News, and I can't give credit to who the contributor was, but this woman said, if I took a smallpox vaccine, if I took three smallpox vaccines, and then I got smallpox, you can bet your bottom dollar that I would be questioning this vaccine and whether or not I need a fourth. And that's actually what they're talking about in Israel. They're considering a fourth vaccine dose. And now finally, people, at least that are quoted in this New York Times article, are saying, I'm a little hesitant about this. How many times do I have to comply until I can get, the carrot that I was promised? But what Scott is talking about as far as Dr. Fauci and these vaccine mandates, I wanted to ask you, Scott, because you've really been following Fauci and I know your opinions on him. But how much of this, whether it's the vaccine mandates, whether it's the push for vaccines or therapeutics, how much of this do you think comes down to his ego? Because we recently saw some people from the NIH once again saying that these Wuhan lab leak theories are a distraction. And kind of it was Francis Collins, I believe, who was kind of almost insulting people who want to look into them. How much of this scientific community is egomaniacs?
I think it goes to a further point, Grace, and that is that it now appears that it's a cover-up, in my opinion. And that is that if you were suddenly partially responsible, as we've talked about funding the gain-of-function research that occurred at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, if you were partially responsible, you'd want to be on the front lines defending against anything that suggested that you weren't doing everything in your power to do it. And you'd want to be control. You want to be gatekeeper for that information. And that's exactly where Fauci's positioned himself. Where was he on SARS? Where was he on Ebola in 2015 and 16? You didn't see him front and center. Why is he front and center on this one? Why did he choose this pandemic to suddenly, at 80 years old, to suddenly become the face of the NIAID. I the only explanation I can say here is that he's covering for something, he's hiding something. And in this particular case, if he can control, if he can be gatekeeper for the data, for the information, for the treatments, then there is no other way of looking at it. There is no other way of associating with it. And he's created this monopoly in both information and data and quote-unquote the truth, and as he's named himself, the science, that now anyone that questions it is now a conspiracy theorist, including myself. Even when I go out there and I'm like, here's the data, X, Y, and Z, I'm still a conspiracy theorist. There just seems no way to have an honest discussion about this anymore.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Scott. And, you know, we all commend you for still trying despite the pushback you're getting from people like Dr. Fauci and the mainstream media. Scott, where can people find you on Twitter and where can they read all of your work?
You can obviously find all my work over at Red State. I'm on Twitter at Hound Sizzle, and on Red State VIP, I'm the host of a podcast called Cancel This, which you can find on Red State VIP.
All right, awesome. Thank you, Scott Hounsell. We love having you on. Eden Pure has done it again. The 3-pack for the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is back. We love this product at the Howie Carr Radio Network. We have one in the kitchen, we have one here in the studio, and we have one in the green room, and it just keeps the air fresh and smelling good. If someone heats up some leftover tuna fish, if someone brings in some of their 7 fishes dinner, you can just turn on the Thunderstorm and the smell is totally gone. And you can also use this device, believe it or not, in your car. Right, Jared?
Yeah, I keep one in my car because I took advantage of the 3-pack. But I keep one in my car because it's great for your regular car smells if you have kind of the oil smell. Or if the car just kind of gets musty, or if you've had fast food, there's like French fries under the seat that you can't find and you get that weird smell. All you have to do is plug this in, because like at home, you just plug it in. There's a little USB cable. You plug into the device. You plug it into your USB port in your car. You turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air in the car, which means it gets rid of all those nasty odors. It can get rid of allergens, pollutants, even some viruses with that super oxygen. And that's what you need because, you know, we're sitting in traffic a lot in the Northeast, if you haven't noticed.
Absolutely. And right now, you can get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. That means you can have one for your car, one for your kitchen, one for your first floor. Wherever you want to put them, they work amazingly. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. Joe Biden is back on vacation. Dr. Fauci is suggesting vaccine passports for airplanes. And this is all from the administration that was going to shut down the virus. We'll have more for you when we return. Feel free to call in and weigh in. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Jennifer Rubin is getting ratioed. The responses are so wonderful. These people like don't think we have any recollection of the last 2 years. Most people were saying that we should start veering off of case numbers and looking at hospitalizations and deaths a year ago. Where was Jennifer Rubin? Where? She's probably at a party with Ron Klain saying to him, oh, Ron, wait till you see the stories I'm coming out with this week. Retweet worthy. Can I get an amen? God, all these people are insufferable. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Fabrizia Lemon Baking Company. Delicious cookies, biscotti, lemon loaves, and more. Made in New England with award-winning Fabrizia Limoncella. Visit them at lemonbakingcompany.com. Holiday boxes are now available. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How will Joe Biden spend his week in Delaware? Pulling the tail of his new puppy post-shower, a Mario Kart tournament, an ice cream bar, plotting against Kamala, or a New Year's Eve Hazel marathon?
I'm going to say ice cream. He looked like when he was running away from reporters across the White House lawn with his little umbrella and his briefcase, he looked like he was in an ice cream kind of mood. So I'm going to say ice cream.
Ice cream bar still in the lead now at 37%. Second place at 26% is pulling the tail of his new puppy post-shower. Third place, New Year's Eve Hazel Marathon, 18%. 16% believe he'll be plotting against Kamala, and 3% say a Mario Kart tournament.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that he actually admitted that he has no ideas left, because at one point he was so full of ideas and so full of life. Remember, he used to jog out to the podium and challenge Trump to a push-up contest, and now he's just slinking away, going back to his beach house for the week. And then meanwhile, there is this major shift on the left. As I announced in the first hour, the CDC has gone from 10 days of quarantine to 5. For what reason, we do not know. They just decided. And it's like they know that people aren't buying into this anymore. And they know that the vaccine is not helping people steer clear of getting infected from the virus. So now they're all just saying, actually, we're going to do it this way. And they don't think anyone's going to notice. They don't think the voters are going to notice. And there's other things that this Democrat Party is doing that I find amazing. Like, for example, Nicole Hannah-Jones, okay? She was the woman who wrote the 1619 Project, and she made a huge stink when the University of North Carolina wasn't going to give her tenure. They were offering her a position, but not tenure. And so there was this big outrage from the left. How dare you not give her tenure? And so then they ended up offering it to her, because of course they caved, you know, UNC, home to school of Howie Carr and Brooke Baldwin. Of course they said, actually, we will give you tenure. Please, please don't be mad at us. Don't cancel us. And then she said, I'm good. I'm going to go to Howard University. So now she's a member of the faculty at Howard University. And she's tenured. Thank God. Thank God. I can sleep at night.
A grave injustice has been averted.
And they want, they, a lot of schools want to have her book, 1619, which is riddled with inaccuracies, debunked facts. They want to have it in their schools, pushing this kind of critical race theory agenda. And she was on television yesterday, and I don't know if we have this cut here, maybe you could find it in the old cuts, but she said that she's not a professional educator, which the people at Howard were probably like, oh gosh, what have we done? And she doesn't think that parents should be able to decide what their kids are taught in school, because that should be left to professional educators. And sometimes when I go on, you know, I do hits on like Spicer and stuff, they give me a list of things they might discuss. And this was one of them yesterday. So I had to spend some time thinking about it. And I realized that beyond the fact that this is just a ridiculous take, that only teachers should be able to decide what kids learn in school, it's the reason why people are so fed up with the liberal elite, because we're sick of being told that there's one group of people who know best and we can't challenge anything they say. That's not the country most of us know. That's not really what we know America to be, is a place where you can't push back on authority. You can't ask questions. So we see the same thing with the science. You can't ask questions. You can't use your common sense. You can't say, oh, well, why do I have to wear a mask if I can get the virus anyway? No, stupid head, stop asking questions. The same reason you can't say, well, I don't really want my kid to be taught that he's inherently racist. You're not a teacher, so you can shut up. Okay, you're not an expert. But then the other element of this that I love, that has me sitting here like the Michael Jackson meme eating the popcorn at the movie theater, is that they're doing it all over again. I think of that Democrat, I'm blanking on her name right now, who said, I think it's Spansburg, was that it? Who said, we're going to get slaughtered, politically speaking, if, I don't want to be Jesse Watered here, we're going to get destroyed if we keep running with these horrible policies, defund the police, you know, critical race theory. And no one listened to her. And now, after what happened in Virginia with Glenn Youngkin.
Abigail Spanberger.
Thank you, Abigail Spanberger. After what happened in Virginia with Glenn Youngkin, the Democrats have learned nothing. They're still going out there saying parents shouldn't be involved in their children's education. Keep going with this. I second what Nicole Hannah-Jones is saying. If you keep pushing this idea that parents have no right and no business to be involved in what their kids learn, then the red wave is becoming a tidal wave, and I couldn't be happier about it. 844-500-4242. Your calls next.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know what I should have asked for Christmas? Joe Biden's vacation schedule. Damn, the R&R this man gets.
He's 187 years old.
He's taking a week lid. The lid is on for the full week.
Look, he's done all he can for COVID. If anybody deserves a break, he fought it to the bitter end, but, you know.
Hey, there's no federal solution.
There's no federal solution.
There is no federal solution. I actually have a hilarious update on the CDC guideline, which I did not realize until I just checked on Twitter. But before we get to that, it's 844-500-4242. Let's go to the callers here. Jason, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jason.
Grace, what was the length of time before? 10 days. Now it's 5 days. Why is that? Because they've screwed themselves. All the unvaccinated people that got fired, laid off, beat it, go away, we don't want you anymore, you're disgusting, are now sitting at home. Well, guess what? There's nobody working. So when the vaccinated people get sick, hey, you need to hurry up and get your butts back to work. So what are we supposed to do about this? You know?
Yeah, and actually, Jason, you just gave me the perfect segue. That was a great call, great point. But this is what I was just going to tell people, which is amazing to me. I did not realize this. The Delta CEO asked the CDC to shorten the recommended COVID quarantine time. And here's the quote. The 10-day isolation for those who are fully vaccinated may significantly impact our workforce and operations. Jason nailed it. The next week, the CDC shortened guidance to 5 days. 10 days is still the guidance in Canada, Europe, and the UK. And here's some other tweets. Welcome to America, where CEOs make public health policy. Well, CEOs and teachers unions. Yeah,
welcome to the party.
So we find out that the Delta CEO, Ed Bastian, asked the CDC to reduce the recommended quarantine time from 10 days to 5 for vaccinated people. I think Ed Bastian is very woke, though. So maybe that's why he had some pull with the CDC. I remember him being woke, I believe, during the baseball situation, the All-Star game, I think. Voting rights issues or something. Delta was involved with that. This change has nothing to do with the virus or your health and everything to do with the profits of corporations. Well, why doesn't Delta just ask them if we can just move on with our lives, you know? Say, hey, can we kind of cut the BS because it's bad? I would like to say that. I need a direct line to Rochelle so I can say, hi, Rochelle. Yeah, it's Grace Curley. I saw you at the mall once. This whole thing, this last 2 years, it's bad for my profit margins. Could we maybe speed this up a little bit? Could we get to the end of this now?
You know who else's profit margins this has been pretty bad for? Everybody that got fired because they wouldn't get vaccinated. They've had a hard time. They have a profit margin issue as well. Restaurants that got shut down and went out of business and never came back. Businesses that shut down and never came back, they also have a profit margin. I think they should all get together.
Can we get a direct line? Can we get a direct line to the CDC?
Rochelle!
Can we get on a Zoom call with the president, perhaps? I don't even want to talk to the president. I don't think he's got enough pull.
Come on, man.
We need to talk to the real... This is what the mail manager used to tell me. You want to talk to the decision makers. When you're trying to get something done, you want to talk to the decision makers. So I want to talk to Rochelle and Dr. Fauci and the people who are high up and the people who are deciding these things. Biden, take the week off. Decompress, relax, enjoy, eat ice cream, play with a new dog, teach him some new tricks, maybe get a trainer in there. I hope they're training this new one because Major had some behavioral issues, and I'm not trying to put it on him. It was a tough situation, brought back into the White House, didn't really know what was going on, but we can't have another dog biting everybody because there's only so much lying about the dog that Jen Psaki can do.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
But that's a pretty wild news update that the CDC and Delta came together and decided what was best. And I love when people are like, well, the CDC says the CDC is a bunch of liars. They're getting their cues from Randy Weingarten from the teachers union and Ed Bastian from Delta. The CDC can kick rocks. The CDC is responsible for ruining the last 2 years because they're a political organization that no one who has half a brain left would trust. So I don't care if the CDC tells me that we're all going to get a unicorn next week, and if we eat Cocoa Puffs, that we won't get COVID. If we hop on one foot and drink Coca-Cola upside down, we're all good with COVID for the rest of our lives. I don't care what the CDC has to say. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I was always a little skeptical of them from the beginning, to be honest. But now this confirms it. Does Ed Bastian know something about COVID that we don't?
Probably.
Is he not...
He flies into China.
Is he not only the head of Delta, but he's also... Does he have a medical background? Is he even a doctor like Dr. Jill? Or is he just a business guy?
This is a house of learned doctors.
I was told that we weren't supposed to worry about the economy and businesses. We were supposed to worry about saving lives. The CDC, what a joke they are. It's embarrassing. Oh, and by the way, speaking of embarrassing, there's a story now in the National Pulse. Ben Weingarten just tweeted this out. It's pretty amazing. Hold on, let me just find it here. It says, oh, here we go. The Wuhan lab hosts conference on how to avoid lab leaks. It's not the Babylon Bee, everybody. This show is brought to you. This show is brought to you by real news. We have woke or joke on Thursdays, but that's only one segment. The rest of the show is real. We live in an insane world. Wade, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wade.
Hi, Grace. Love the show.
Thank you.
So what you were talking about, the CDC said yesterday, I heard on the world news at the top of the hour, listening to Howie last night.
Yeah.
There was one extra point they said, and I only heard it once. I heard the news a bunch more times, but they never said this again. They said, if you are found to have the variant and you do not have symptoms, you don't need to quarantine. You should just wear a mask for 10 days.
Wear a mask for 10 days. Now, hold on, Wade. Hold on a second. Because I want to play for you Dr. Lena Wen from CNN saying for the second time that these masks do absolutely nothing. Cut four, please, Jared.
Cloth masks are not appropriate for this pandemic. It's not appropriate for Omicron. It was not appropriate for Delta, Alpha, or any of the previous variants either, because we're dealing with something that's airborne.
Yeah, I love it.
They're facial decoration, and yet, if you're test positive and you're boosted, who can even keep up with this anymore? It's like you need to have a chart of what you're allowed to do, and I think that the confusion is kind of part of the point. You know, if you can confuse people enough, and anything makes sense. Like, I would love to argue with someone about why all this COVID precautions are, why they're ridiculous, but I don't even know if I would be able to, because it should just make sense to people why none of this makes sense. And yet it doesn't. All right. Let's also play. Speaking of some of these crazy cuts. Thank you for the call, Wade. Jeff Zients was this the guy who cleared the press? So he's the man who gets rid of the press when the thank you girls aren't around. And yesterday, Biden finished up with this governor's call where he said there's no federal solution for COVID. And listen to what happened next. Cut eight.
I want to thank the governors for their partnership. And I mean that sincerely. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jeff. And I understand you guys may have some questions. Jeff?
Good. think we're going to clear the press first.
You know what I need, Jared? You know what I need right now. I need an Aren't You Embarrassed, because all of these people in the press corps should be embarrassed.
Aren't you embarrassed?
They should be ashamed of themselves that this is what they've allowed to happen. You can't even be in the room when we have a Zoom call with a couple of governors, because we're afraid you might go rogue and ask a question to Joe Biden, who has no business answering questions at this point. I mean, this is something else. And then he walks away and he leaves on vacation. And again, people are shouting questions, but the only thing they're seeing is the back of his head. We've seen more of the back of this man's head over the last 11 months than anything else. What do we got here? Oh, we've got some. Oh, very good. Thank you, Matt. This is one last thing I wanted to play. This is a perfect way to end this segment. There was a swimming official who was on Fox News last night, and she was on with Sean Duffy. Tucker Carlson's off for Christmas. And she was talking about this whole story at Stanford where this male swimmer decided to turn into a woman and is now breaking all the records on the female swim team. And a lot of the female swimmers are upset about this because they trained their whole lives and, you know, they had plans to win meets and now they're not. And they're just getting crushed by Leah. I think it's Leah Thomas. And she made a lot of great points, this woman, and she's very brave to do this because we live in a world right now where if you say these things, you become like persona non grata. You're the worst person. And listen to what she said to Sean Duffy. Let's start with cut 22.
I've gotten a lot of kind comments from fellow officials, former officials, and from parents of swimmers and swimmers. The fact is that swimming is a sport in which bodies compete against bodies. Identities do not compete against identities. And from the very beginning, when you start out as an age grouper, swimmers are divided by sex and by age group, 8 and under, 9, 10, etc., all the way up, because from the very beginning, swimming, USA Swimming recognizes that boys swim differently from girls.
And right now, in 2021, that is an extreme concept, that boys swim differently from girls. And I liked this woman.
Birthing people.
I like this woman's remarks because she doesn't downplay what this is going to do to women's swimming. Cut 23.
While Leah Thomas is a child of God, he is a biological male who is competing against women. And no matter how much testosterone suppression drugs he takes, he will always be a biological male and have this advantage. And it's horrible. The statement for women then is, you don't matter. What you do is not important. And little girls are going to be thrown under the bus by all of this. He's going to be destroying women's swimming.
And let's play the last cut here. This is Cynthia Millen, cut 24.
All of these women who worked so hard before Title IX, when they didn't have the opportunities that men had, and it would be such a shame, it would be such a travesty to throw it all away now. And this is what will happen. We must face facts. Men are different from women. Men swimmers are different from women, and they will always be faster than women.
Yeah, but you're not going to hear anyone, any public figure who's on the left ever admit that. Because when they do, like J.K. Rowling, they get run out of town. They're canceled for saying something that is very, very logical and based in common sense. And it is sad that women's sports are going to suffer. And unless people start speaking up like this woman and saying, we can't do this, it's not fair to the women athletes, I don't see this stopping anytime soon. The pendulum might swing back, but what about these girls right now? They waited all this time, and this is their time to shine, and they're not going to be able to. It's really a shame. 844-500-4242. When we return, we're talking to Taylor Cormier from the Howie Carr Show. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. All right, so there's been some shifting when it comes to the CDC's decision about quarantine. It's gone from 10 days to 5 days. A lot of people are now saying we shouldn't look at case counts and we should just look at hospitalizations and deaths. And I just want to say, when all this calms down and we get past this, there's two people I really want everyone to thank. Two people who have been at the forefront of this fight to relax these lockdowns. And that would be Jennifer Rubin and Ed Bastian from Delta. They're the ones who saved us from this.
Ed Bastian, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years too late, but still.
Yeah. Remember, it was, you used to have to quarantine for 21 days?
Oh, yeah. Remember they
the
tell you.
The signs on the Massachusetts highways, please, if you're coming in from out of state, quarantine for.
Can we talk about those signs? I'm so sick of those. I'm sick of when they try to get cutesy with me. Like when they tell me something, oh, socially distance in your car, or like they make all these funny jokes.
Socially distance from other drivers, from other cars, yeah.
It's a, okay, funny man. Okay, Ray Romano, just tell me where the exits are.
This is the crossover nobody asked for. Traffic laws and COVID rules. Nobody needed that.
Sorry, everybody. No, but Taylor, on top of that, it's pretty amazing that they used to tell you that when you go from like Massachusetts to New Hampshire, you should quarantine. Like as if someone was going to, oh, I got to drive to New Hampshire to, you know, go somewhere and then I'm going to stay there for 21 days and not talk to
are
anyone.
Are you going to fund my quarantine? And who do I send the bill to?
It really is. It's so in your face. This is the most in your face thing I've seen since the CDC talked to the teachers unions and drafted up some verbiage for school openings. Now the CDC is meeting with Ed Bastian from Delta and that chopped off 5 days. And if I'm in Canada, I'm like, hold on a second, Ed, you got to call them back and get this happening for us.
Yeah. I mean, that letter that he sent to the CDC really only goes to show that this is commercialized fear that has been running this entire operation. Our entire response here in the United States and globally, based on the United States, has been that companies really dictate what goes on and what they're hearing from their employees and their customers and how afraid they are. So it hasn't been science-based, and it still isn't science-based.
But it kind of makes you think, Taylor, if we had done this, if people like Ed Bastian had done this from the beginning and really taken a stand against a lot of this nonsense, how much faster we could have come out of this thing. If we all hadn't, and I it's hard to Monday morning quarterback because no one really knew what this was going to be, but you're seeing this now with vaccine mandates. Some people are saying, listen, if you want to fire us, you can fire us. And then companies are slowly backing down because they don't want to lose, you know, half their staff. So there is something in, you know, there's power in numbers here.
Right. Now that they're seeing that there's definitely a shortage of employees and they might be, I'm not suggesting that they are, they might be taking advantage of the 10-day quarantine status, really milking it for what it's worth. Why are you pointing at me?
No,
because
no.
I took a day off yesterday?
No. I'm up. No. I was going to say that's the people in the lines in the testing.
It's weird.
The people
I really liked your tweet about that earlier.
Who are getting the ticket and saying, I have COVID. 844-500-4242. Taylor Cormier is coming up next for Howie Carr. This is the Grace Curley Show.